Okay, let's be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that anything that might be distracting our time with you today be left outside or dropped off at the foot of the cross. We pray, Lord, that our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds are open and receptive to your word. And I ask you, Lord, to be able to guide me, that I speak some words we need to hear. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Okay, we're going to continue with Jonah. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. How many's ever tried to run from someone you just can't hide? What's some of those games that kids play, hide and seek? So see, what's that one where everybody jumps in our cupboard at home, all piled in? What's that called? Sardines. Who's ever played sardines? Sardines. How many know that when you play with a little child, you can't hide, right? Because I'm going to say, here we are. Well, Jonah, he's running, but you can run, but guess what?
Yeah.
You can't hide. So let's get a little review, okay? Let's turn our Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Jonah's only got four books, right? It's like a 15-minute read. It's a 15-minute read, right? And kind of the outline for Jonah is like this. Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and then Jonah pouts. That's the four outlines of Jonah. Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, Jonah pouts. So let's read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Let's keep it there for a minute. Let's not switch this slide for a second. I told you last week, if somebody says to you, that story is Jonah, there's no way. There's no way that a fish is going to swallow a man. Now, the way that people try to explain it is, a whale could swallow a man, right? There's some pretty big whales in this world. Fact is, Sissy and I just went to the museum, and we saw the jawbone of a sperm whale. Oh, that wouldn't fit in this room, I don't think. It's that big. So it wouldn't make sense that a whale could swallow a man. But what doesn't make sense is, how is he going to be down there for 3 days in the belly of a whale, right? But the story doesn't say a whale. It says a what?
Fish.
It says a fish. It says fish. Now, some people say, Mark's caught some pretty big fish. But they didn't eat us. We ate them. How many's ever had some walleye at the picnic? Oh, man, that's some awesome stuff. But the Bible says that what swallowed Jonah? Fish. Now, some people like debate that with you. How can that possibly be true? There's no way that's going to happen. Well, then you have to go to Matthew. Well, let's turn to Matthew a second. We're going to read Matthew 12, 38 to 40. And these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said this, right? How many would say Jesus knows more than you know?
Yes.
How many say Jesus knows more than the person asking the question to?
Yes.
All right, so let's read what that says.
Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
Okay, so even Jesus in Matthew is making reference to who?
Jonah.
Even he says Jonah is real. And so when somebody wants to debate with you, well, how do you know? Say, well, even Jesus talked about Jonah. So clearly, to me, that's proof positive. If Jesus is talking about, if you believe God's word, of course, if Jesus is talking about Jonah, well, then Jonah must be real, right? Let's talk about God's call in all of our lives. In review of what I taught you last week before I get into the new things today, God says to Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." When does he want him to go?
Now.
How many of you just don't have time for now? Seriously, how many do not have time for now? You got some time in the week somewhere, right? You got some time in a week somewhere. I think sometimes we say things like this, and I've heard people say this, oh man, on my day off. I'm serious, right? Oh, not on my day off. Well, what is your day off when you're working for the Lord?
No.
Well, what is that day? I'm serious. What is that day? If I say to you, you know, you need to go visit somebody, or you need to go pray for somebody, or you need to go do something for somebody, and you say, oh man, but it's Saturday. Wait a second. Is Saturday your day off from the Lord or something? How many of you have a day off from the Lord? Does anybody have a day off from the Lord in this room? Does anybody have like an 8-hour schedule for the Lord? Who has one? If your mindset says to you, well, you know what? I have an 8-hour time block that I work for the Lord. Guess what? You're not employed. You're not employed. How many agree with that statement? You're not. Because God's service is how many hours a day?
24.
How many days a week?
7 days a week.
There is no day off. There is no day off working for the Lord. Is there? Really, truly? I mean, I try to incorporate that even where I work. I said I want a 2-week notice if you're going to die. So I can schedule that. I want to schedule that event so I can make sure I have time. Mark, you think that's the way it works? There is no day off in the Lord's work. Not 1 minute off. Now, do you need to take a Sabbath? Sure. Everybody needs to take a Sabbath. Sure. But you know you all have a Sabbath from the Lord, don't you? Y'all, you fit them in. You can fit that Sabbath time in. There's no question that you do. And so God says to Jonah, arise and go when? What if God called you at 1:05 today? 1:05. Right before the kickoff. I wonder how many of you would be a little busy. A little preoccupied to go. Because it's 1:05. Without giving a real definitive description of what I'm talking about. How many understand what I just said?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're busy then, aren't you?
No, not me.
Maybe you're busy. How many of you know that God's call was unpredictable?
Yeah.
He calls when He calls. You don't get to debate it. You only get to give one of two answers.
Yes or no?
Yes and no. That's the only answers you get. You don't get to say why. You don't get to say, can I do it later? You only get to say what? Yes or no? Yes or no? So many people are looking out for Sissy and I all the time because we're getting older. And so many people say to us, man, you know, you better slow down. What is the slowing down for the Lord? What is that? What is that?
Death.
Sissy, what is it?
Death.
It's death. It's there is no slowing down. If the Lord calls you, then He must know you're able to do it. Is that not true? I'll be leaving here. I'll be going to go do a memorial service in a little bit. I'll be going out to Freeport to do a memorial service. I'll be leaving there. I'll be going down to the Sons of God to do the worship service, and I'll be getting home. And so many people say, why are you doing that? You know what I always say? I don't see nobody behind me waiting to take my turn. There's nobody behind me taking my turn. How many understand that? What you are called to do, guess what? You are called to do. How many agree with that? God says to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. When?
Yeah.
Don't you hate that now stuff? How many's got a date book? How many's got a date book or calendar or something you work off? Anybody got one of those? How many are more technically savvy? You have that Outlook calendar thing. How many have the Outlook calendar thing? Woo! You know, I have that Outlook calendar thing. Sue, you have one. Do you have to share your calendar? My calendar is shared. Let me tell you what that means. You know what that means, right, Sue? My calendar is shared. What that means is I get to put things in it, and guess what? So does everybody else. Now imagine that, right? Imagine that. Imagine tomorrow, by the way, I'm taking 3 days. Me and Sissy are going to hang out. But I go to work on Monday. 20 people can look at that calendar of mine, look at that calendar of mine and say, oh, he's free from 3 to 4, I'm plugging this in. And when that gets plugged in, I get a little alert, says, hey, guess what, that 3 o'clock slot, you thought you had nothing to do, guess what, you do now. And I call that organized chaos. It works really well for me. How many would hate to have a calendar like that? That people would just put stuff in. Anybody want one of them? Who wants one of those when they can just plug stuff in? How many wants one? Well, how many know when you're in God's work, you got one? Because God can plug it in, guess what, church? Anytime He wants. How many know you do have a shield calendar? Oh, you got one. Who gets to fill it in, Christina? God can fill it in. I wonder how many of us, when God says, arise and go, you say, didn't you check my calendar, Lord? Did you not see, Lord, that this was my Sabbath time? Did you not check my calendar, Lord? Did you not see that I was so busy today? You know what God's reply to you is? Really? Really? You don't think I checked? No, you didn't check. You didn't check. Because if you're working for me, it's how long? How often? Let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something. There is no part-time God. There's only part-time Christians. There's no halfway God. There's only halfway Christians. But He tells you to go. What should you do, Robin? You go. You go. Another lesson, we'll talk about the parable of the talents, about the one who hid it and didn't do anything with it. And we'll see what God did with the one that He hid, right? And so God says, go, arise. God's call is always unpredictable. You don't always get to tell Him when you want to go. I want you to look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And I want you to read for me verse 3. So verse 3.
But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Okay, so what does Jonah decide to do? He doesn't just say no. He decides to what? And this running is a very descriptive word. It's not just he's going for a stroll through the countryside, right? He's not going, no. He's not jogging. He's what? He's fleeing. Now, I want you to get the concept of running, jogging, speed walking, and fleeing. How many understand fleeing means I'm not even packing a bag? I don't have time to pack a bag. I don't have time to check my date book. No, I am what? I am gone. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm out of here. It's kind of like the two boys that were going hiking in the woods. And they were best of friends, and they looked up and they saw a grizzly bear coming down the mountain towards them. And one boy was panicking like crazy. The other boy very calmly sat down on a log. And his friend said, what are you doing? I'm going to change my shoes. He took off his hiking boots. He put on his Nikes. And his friend said, what are you doing? You can't outrun that bear, man. He said, I don't have to. I just have to outrun you. And sometimes you flee from the Lord. Hey, it's not like, oh no, it's like, hey, I'm out of here. And so Jonah's fleeing. Why? Because the call is very uncomfortable. It's not even a request that you could do. This call that God said is uncomfortable. He doesn't feel comfortable doing it. He doesn't want to do it. He hates them. And he hates that God doesn't hate them. He doesn't want them saved. He wants them to go to AC double hockey sticks. I got kids. doesn't want to do this. He's uncomfortable with the whole concept of God's comfortable. How many understand that? How many, you know, if I was to ask you a very bold question, I'll ask you a very bold question. Now, I know you're all Bible thumpers, and you're not going to want to answer this truthfully. I know you're not going to want to answer this truthfully, but I know that the answer is going to be yes. How many of you know some people you think deserve to be in HEL, double hockey sticks? You know that, right? And the rest of you just don't want to admit it. I'll name you some people. Hitler. How many think Hitler ought to be in? You know it's universal. You know he should be there. Right? You know that? Ted Bundy. John Wayne Gacy. Jeffrey Dahmer. All those scientists in the Nazi prison camps. All the ones that went in and dropped the cyanide so they got their showers filled with gas. How many say, man, if anybody deserves a beater, it surely should be them. Don't you have some people in your mind say, there's no way. There's no way. And see, Jonah is uncomfortable with this. Oh, he's not uncomfortable with actually getting up and going someplace. He's uncomfortable with the what? With the call. He's uncomfortable with the call. Aren't we all like little Jonas sometimes? Oh, don't we all have our little comfort zones? How many have your ministry comfort zone? Anybody have your ministry comfort zone? Thank you for being so honest with me. And the rest either don't know you have one or don't have one. Don't we all have that little comfort zone? That, hey, I'm willing to do this. Right? Remember I said I need a volunteer to paint some little kids' faces? Wouldn't that be, for those who are face painters, see face paints, isn't that a joyful thing to paint faces on little kids? How many can understand that? Oh, like a little daisy, oh, it's so great. But what about doing some other kinds of stuff? Like ministering in a hospice, for example. Or maybe like these two guys going to the prison camps, or going down to the homeless shelter that Mark ministers to. How many know there's some things that are uncomfortable too? How many admit that there are some things that's uncomfortable? How many admit there's some things uncomfortable? Go, oh man, I don't know about that. Hey Lord, I am willing. I am so willing. Then you have your list, right? I am so willing to do. And then you have your list. How many got a list of things you're willing to do? Man, here's a list. I can do these things. And if you call me for these things, man, I'm so there. I am so there. But here's a list of things I'm not willing to do. How many say you have two lists? All right. For those of us that have two lists, how many would say the list of things you're willing to do is far shorter than the list of things you're not willing to do? How many know the list of things you're willing to do might fit on the palm of one hand? How many say that's absolutely true? But the list of things you're not willing to do, it's like... And Jonah is uncomfortable. I don't want to go. I'm uncomfortable not only with me being uncomfortable, but I'm uncomfortable what? That you're not uncomfortable. I wonder if anybody here has people in their lives they don't want to minister to because you're uncomfortable. I wonder if we all have people in our lives that we say, you know what, somebody else can do it. Because that's that Christian thing, right? Somebody else can go. It's not like I want them to go to AC double hockey sticks. It's just that I don't want to tell them. Somebody else can tell them. And I'll even be like Christian and pray, oh Lord, send somebody to them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you send. I pray, Lord, that you send somebody to them, Lord. Just make sure that somebody's not me. How many know we all got people like that, don't we? How many know some of them people might share your last name? So Jonah is feeling a little uncomfortable with the whole concept. He doesn't want to go. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 2.
Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.
Yeah.
See, Jonah, he didn't want to go. And he didn't care about them. And he didn't think God should care about them either. He didn't want Nineveh to repent. He wanted Nineveh to what? Burn. And he's uncomfortable that God doesn't see it. Now, did God say to Jonah, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them how much I love them"? Did God say to Jonah, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go and sing to them, Jesus loves you, this I know"? Was that the message that he asked Jonah to deliver? No! No! God says to Jonah, tell him to go down there and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. You know all of us people who love to witness to people? This is how we do it. I just want you to know, brother, God loves you. That He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And if you just accept that, man, all of your sin will be washed away, thrown into the lake of forgetfulness. And that's because God loves you so much. How many understand that's the why we do it? What would happen if we did this? Hey, God wanted me to let you know He sees your wickedness. He sees your wickedness. He sees your wretched ways. You know what happens if people do that? They run from the churches and never go back because it's hellfire and damnation. But guess what? How many know He sees it? Yeah. Doesn't He? Yeah. I wonder how much of a testimony we'd all give to somebody and say, you know, hey, would you mind if I have lunch with you? I'd like to treat you to lunch. And we'll go someplace special. We won't go to McDonald's. We'll go to Wendy's. And you get a baked potato and some chili. And you sit down with them and you hold their hand and say, look, I want to make sure that when you die, you take your final breath, that you'll be in heaven. So I want to tell you, what a wretched person, you wicked sinner, you. You are the most wicked of the wicked. God sees your wretched life. I wonder how that will go. I wonder how that would go. Oh, thank God you told me. Can I go to church with you on Sunday? And that's the call. And Jonah's uncomfortable with it. And Jonah says what? No! Let him burn! Let him burn. Sometimes the call that we have is uncomfortable for us. And we want to get in our comfortable place to do ministry. We want it to be comfortable. I'm willing to do this, and I'm not willing to do that at 3 in the morning. I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that during a Super Bowl playoff. I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that, to go down and sit with the homeless guys downstairs where their bunks are. I'm not willing to do that. And Jonah is fleeing because he's not what? Willing. I wonder how many of us are like Jonah. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 to 7.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearly the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
I think that there are times in all of our lives that God's grace is incomprehensible to us. There are people, past and maybe even present, that we look at and we say to ourselves, you know, I know there's a heaven and I know that there's a hell. And this list of people I'm looking at right now, surely if anyone deserves to be there, they should be in hell. How many got some people in mind when I tell you that? You know you do, right? Because you say, man. And I know this is absolutely true, because when I get some classes, no matter where I go, I'll say by God's grace, and you can see, eyes are like big as deer in headlights, or underneath Mark's tree stand. Their eyes are like, whoa! And this is what their mind's thinking. Wait a second! You mean to tell me? And pop a name in. Pop a name in, right? You mean to tell me that John Wayne Gacy? How many know who he is? In case you don't know, and I have kids, so I'm going to be very cautious with what I say. Okay, so you got to pay attention, fill in the spaces. John Wayne Gacy dressed up as a clown. As a clown. And he would go out and do magic tricks for kids. And he would invite some boys to his house. Everybody know who he is now? And they wind up missing. Everybody know who he is? And he did some excavating in his basement. Everybody got the picture? Surely he's not there. If anybody needs to be anywhere, it's him. How many understand that? See, that's because you don't understand that God's grace is bigger than yours. And God's mercy far exceeds yours. And it's incomprehensible. It is incomprehensible that God's mercy and God's grace and God's love is that big. That his desire is how many should perish? None. From the worst to the saints. And it's incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible. In fact, is the human brain tries to rationalize that incomprehensible fact. And we'll say things like that. Well, sure, I'm a bad person, but I'm not as bad as. And you fill in the space. How many understand that? Well, I lie, but it's little white ones and not Whoppers. You'll say, well, I stole a Hershey bar. Big deal. Is it? How many know this? If you lie on your taxes, you stole. How many agree with that statement? If you carry your aught and move it over one line, guess what you just did? You stole. Render to Caesar unto Caesar what is his. How many agree with that statement? But we will rationalize, right? Hey, Caesar's got enough. That's that incomprehensible part. And Jonah's saying, no. No. No, go warn him. Go get him. No, go save him. Go get him. Round him up. It's incomprehensible. And sometimes God's call on your life is incomprehensible. Look what it says. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Who's that for? Everybody. Everybody. And by no means cleaning the guilty, visiting the inequity of the father upon the children, children, third. I mean, that's. How many know there are consequences of your actions? Hey, he forgave the sin, but what about the consequence? How many still have consequences of your choices even today? How many have received God's grace and salvation and mercy? How many still have the consequence? That's what that is all about. God's call on our life, and Jonah's call on his life, incomprehensible. Jonah, wants him to get the judgment. Jonah, what he wants him to do is go where they deserve to be. He wants him to burn. And God wants him what? To be saved. God's call incomprehensible. Let's turn our Bibles to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9.
But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
How we respond, matters. Do you understand that when God calls you, your answer affects everybody around you? How many understand that? You probably think that when God calls you, it only affects you. Truly. You probably think sometimes, you know, sitting on the recliner chair of your life, you know, you got the remote control in one hand, you got the whatever in the other hand, and you're sitting there saying, man, whew, finally I got this 2-4 hours. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to chill like a veg. That's all I'm going to do. Then the phone rings. Or you get text message. Right? How many's been in that situation? And you look at it and you go, oh, I ain't answering this thing. I know who this is. Ooh, They taught us in school, and I forget where I learned this. I think Sissy was with me. I don't remember. Oh, Billy Graham. That's where it was, right? When we were honored as a pastor of the year, Billy Graham, we went out there, and it was Franklin Graham or somebody, I forget who it was that said it, Sissy, but said, all pastors, do this now. Erase your address book. Erase your address. Remember, Sissy? Erase your address book. Now, why do you think he said that? You want to know why? Because I don't know who's calling. That's why. Erase the address book. So when the phone rings, you simply say what? Hello? Instead of looking at the phone and go, oh, devil, no. I know what this is going to be. Without making anybody feel guilty here, how many look at your phone before you answer it? How many even one time? Remember, next week's on honesty and truthfulness. I know what you all want to say. Oh, I never did this in my entire life. How many ever looked at your phone one time and said, I'm not answering this? I'm being kind. How many decided not to answer the phone? What if it was the call? Do you know that your answer and your response to God's call matters? It not only matters to you, but it matters to those around you. That your refusal to answer to God's call, your refusal doesn't just affect you, it affects those He called you to go to. You know what my biggest fear is in the ministry? I'm serious. My biggest fear is about how am I going to get everything done even though I'm getting old. I'm not afraid of that. No, Sissy supports me and she helps me, and Jesse's going to be coming up alongside me. I know that he is. You know my biggest call is? Getting to heaven and God say, here's the people you didn't see. Anybody afraid of that? Yes. Sissy just taught a whole class on Wednesday night about standing before the judgment seat of Christ and Him saying to the open book, saying, well, let me tell you the people you didn't see because you didn't go see them. Fill in the space. I wonder how many of us have said no. Said no to God's call in our life. And it matters. Let's go to Jonah 1:5.
Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep.
Let me explain that to you. Sounds like a really nice ending to a story, huh? Oh, Jonah, he's so at peace with himself. What's Jonah doing? Oh, sleeping in the bottom of the boat. He's such at peace with his decision. He got away with it. He's so calm and so assured that he got away with it. He didn't want to go, and by gosh, he didn't go. And he is so comfortable with that decision. Where is he at? The bottom of the boat. What's he doing?
Sleeping.
How many's ever been so comfortable you just fell asleep? Anybody been that way? Just so at peace. Wow. But of course, the people on the boat are in the storm. And the waves are crashing. And what are they doing with the cargo? What are they doing? Tossing it. Everybody in the boat who he's with is taking all their cargo, and what are they doing with it? Because your decision matters. Jonah's at peace, but the ones he's with sure aren't. They're throwing the stuff into the brink. And what's he doing? What's he doing? Sleeping. You ever been so comfortable with your negative choice that you can sleep at night? Have you ever one time said, you know what, God, I'm not going. I'm tired. I've done enough today. I'm tired. But yet, all around you, because of your choice, guess what? You're perishing. And you're sleeping. You're comfortable. And everybody else is what? So Jonah decides he's going to flee from God. And he buys a ticket and he's going to go to Tarshish. Remember I told you where that was? I did tell you that. I forgot. Did I tell you where that was? It's in Spain. Did I tell you about that? No? Yeah? No. Okay. Jonah, when he gets the call, he's in Joppa, which is modern day Israel. And he said, go to Nineveh. Nineveh is about 60 miles north of Baghdad. And so God says to Jonah, get out of Israel, go to Iraq. That's what he said too. Exactly right. Perfect. Ka-ching. He says what? So he buys a ticket to go to Tarshish, which is modern day Spain. Everybody got this? So he wants to go to Spain. So he doesn't go to Iraq. He buys a ticket, gets on the boat, goes across the Mediterranean water, he's going to go up to Spain. He's going to go to Tarshish. Now Tarshish were militaristic too. They were just as bad as the Ninevites. But he don't know that. They're just as bad. Maybe worse. Maybe they're worse. Everybody follow this? Anybody make a decision and jump right out of frying pan right into the fire?
Yeah.
Just you, Scott?
Yeah, I did too.
Christina?
Yeah.
How many jumped out of the frying pan and landed right smack dab in the fireplace? Okay. So he's going up to Tarshish with all these folks, and they're merchants. And so they have the boatload with all their goods. Everybody follow this? They're trading the goods, right? They're going up to Tarshish. So they get in the storm. Where's Jonah? In the boat. Now, these guys have been on a boat, you know, that's what they do. Up and back, up and back, up and back to Tarshish or Spain, up and back. And they never get into storms like that. They never get in one. No, hugging the coast. Boop, boop. This time, they're on the boat, and what happens? Big old storm comes up. They think they're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. Where's Jonah? He's sleeping. These guys are, they're frantic. They're going to die. This boat's going under. So they take all the stuff, all the goods, and what do? But what's really cool about that is they wake up Jonah. Go get him. It's him. Go wake him up. Go wake him up. It's him. So they bring Jonah up onto the boat, right? Onto the deck of the ship. They say, it's you, Jonah. It's you. And Jonah says, yes, I've sinned against God. It's all my fault. Throw me overboard. And guess what they say? Guess what they say? No. You say no. Do you understand that they were more merciful on Jonah than he was willing to be on them? Do you understand, church, that they were the militaristic, the ones that would chop off your heads, poke out your eyes, they had more mercy on him than they had on everybody else. They showed more mercy to Jonah than Jonah was willing to show to the Ninevites. Isn't that crazy? Ain't that something? I wonder today, how many of you have received mercy? How many have received mercy in this room? How many of you have received God's grace?
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how far God will allow Jonah to run before he said, "Run is over now, Jonah." I wonder how much fleeing God allows Jonah before God says, "It's time for the lesson of your life." I wonder how far God will allow you to turn and hide from Him until the lesson's coming. Anybody here want taught a lesson? Anybody here want God to teach you? How many know God's a great teacher? I don't know if any of you have been following the Pope as far as his homilies and stuff. Anybody been watching the Pope at all? Did anybody see the Pope's a message to Congress? Anybody see that? Okay, one person. I did. Two? Three? Okay, well, I watched the whole thing. At the very end, the Pope said something to the United States Congress that's worth repeating to you. It's worth repeating to you. Here it is. Are you ready? You ready? Now pay attention. The yardstick you use will be the yardstick that we used against you. The mercy that you show will be the mercy that's shown to you. The blessings that you are willing to bestow will be the same amount of blessings bestowed to you. When the Pope told the Congress that, he said, "You know, you are the greatest country on the face of this earth, the home of the free and the land of the brave, the richest country on the face of the earth. And we have immigrants all over this world. And you are a land of immigrants." That's what he said. How many of you are a land of immigrants too? And what he said to them, when it comes to mercy and when it comes to grace, he said, "Remember always, Congress, the yardstick you use will be the yardstick that is used against you." How many want a bigger blessing than you're willing to give? How many want richer mercy than you're willing to give? Next week we'll talk about Jonah and those on the boat. We'll talk about Jonah's call against Nineveh. And then we'll talk about Jonah's pouting. I don't even know if we need to talk about that because nobody here pouts, and I understand that. But anybody ever here do any pouting at all? Who's a good pouter? Good. Turn to somebody and give me your pout. Show me your pout. That's an ugly sight. It's an ugly sight. I don't want to look. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honestly admit to you, Lord, that there have been calls that we've rejected, because there has been. Lord, there have been times that you have asked us to go and we were unwilling. And we rationalize, Lord, we say to ourselves, "Well, but that's okay because I went the other two times." Or, "It's okay, Lord, because, you know, I'm one who might do more than anybody else." Or, "Lord, you know what? I go 5 out of 10 times. Lord, I'm a 50%er. That's a good thing, Lord. And it's not like I always say no. I mostly say yes, but sometimes I say no." And we kind of rationalize that that's okay. It's okay. Well, then I guess it would be okay that Jesus died for some, but not for all. I suppose. I suppose that God's mercy and love should be for some and not for all. I guess we rationalize the same way. I suppose. I suppose that when we go to the Lord with our concerns, God could say to us, "Well, I'm kind of busy today. Can you come back on Wednesday?" I suppose that would be fair. But then we only want fairness when it pertains to us. Lord, we don't want fairness when it pertains to everybody else. Just us. Just us. Our little world. So Heavenly Father, where we have been wrong as a church universal, and where we have been wrong as a church individually, we're sorry for that. And we repent. We're wrong. We're wrong, Lord, we're wrong. And Lord, help us to clearly understand this truth that we need to grasp, Lord, that when we stand before you, And that day will come with everybody in this place. From the pastors down to the laity, everybody in this church will stand before one of two places, the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. We will give an account. The day is coming. We're going to give an account. And when the question is asked of us, what did you do for the homeless? And we say, my church did this. And the Lord God is going to say to every one of us, Heavenly Father, I didn't ask you what your church did. I asked what you did. Lord, help our answer be pleasing to you. When you ask us, Lord, what did we do to help feed homeless people? What did we do to minister to people that were so less fortunate than ourselves? What did we do to make sure that people were introduced to Jesus Christ? The answer can never be, Lord, my church. The answer could only be me. What I did. What I did. It's personal. And the call was personal. And the answer is equally as personal. So, Lord, where we are wrong, rebuke us and teach us your way. Lord, we are certainly not the biggest church in Moon Township. The fact is, we're probably one of the smallest ones. That's probably true. But Lord, may we be the biggest one in servants. May we be the biggest one in service. May we never say no. There's nothing we cannot do through you who strengthens us, Lord. And whatever the need arises, call us. We'll be there. And connected together, we can do some mighty things for the Lord. One person at a time sometimes, and sometimes a whole community. But Lord, we're going to make a difference, Lord. So teach us your ways, Lord. Teach us your ways. And all of God's people said,
amen.